Chapter 143. His wife, at the window of the room in which the brother and sister sat at their early breakfast, was darkened by the unexpected shadow of a man coming to the little porch. Which man was Perch the messenger? "I've stepped over from Ball's Pond at a early hour," apostrophe said Mr. Perch, confidentially looking in at the room door, and stopping on the mat, to wipe his shoes all round, which had no mud upon them, agreeable to my instructions last night. "They was, to be sure, and bring a note to you, Mr. Carker, before you went out in the morning. I should have been here a good hour and a half ago," apostrophe said Mr. Perch, meekly, "but for the state of health of Mrs. P., who I thought I should have lost in the night, I do assure you, 5 distinct times." Apostrophe, "is your wife so ill?" Apostrophe asked Harriet. "Why, you see," apostrophe said Mr. Perch, first turning round to shut the door carefully, "she takes what has happened in our house so much to heart, miss. Her nerves is so very delicate, you see, and soon unstrung. Not but what the strongest nerves had good need to be shook, I'm sure. You feel it very much yourself, no doubts." Harriet repressed a sigh, and glanced at her brother. "I'm sure I feel it myself, in my humble way," apostrophe Mr. Perch went on to say, with a shake of his head, in a manner I couldn't have believed, if I hadn't been called upon to undergo. "It has almost the effect of drink upon me. I literally feels every morning, as if I had been taking more than was good for me overnight." Apostrophe, Mr. Perch's appearance corroborated this recital of his symptoms. There was an air of feverish lassitude about it that seemed referable to drams, and which, in fact, might no doubt have been traced to those numerous discoveries of himself in the bars of public houses, being treated and questioned, which he was in the daily habit of making. "Therefore I can judge," apostrophe said Mr. Perch, shaking his head and speaking in a silvery murmur, "of the feelings of such as is at all peculiarly situated in this most painful relation." Apostrophe, here Mr. Perch waited to be confided in, and receiving no confidence, coughed behind his hand. This leading to nothing, he coughed behind his hat, and that leading to nothing, he put his hat on the ground, and sought in his breast pocket for the letter. "If I rightly recollect, there was no answer," apostrophe said Mr. Perch, with an affable smile, "but perhaps you'll be so good as cast your eye over it, sir." Apostrophe, John Carker broke the seal, which was Mr. Dombey's, and possessing himself of the contents, which were very brief, replied, "No. No answer is expected." Apostrophe, "then I shall wish you good morning, miss," apostrophe said Perch, taking a step toward the door, "and hoping, I'm sure, that you will not permit yourself to be more reduced in mind than you can help, by the late painful relation." "The papers," apostrophe said Mr. Perch, taking 2 steps back again, and comprehensively addressing both the brother and sister in a whisper of increased mystery, "is more eager for news of it than you'd suppose possible. One of the Sunday ones, in a blue cloak and a white hat, that had previously offered for, to bribe me, need I say with what success, was dodging about our court last night as late as 8:20. I see him myself, with his eye at the counting house keyhole, which being patent is impervious." "Another one," apostrophe said Mr. Perch, "with military frogs, is in the parlor of the King's Arms all the blessed day. I happened, last week, to let a little observation fall there, and next morning, which was Sunday, I see it worked up in print, in a most surprising manner." Apostrophe, Mr. Perch resorted to his breast pocket, as if to produce the paragraph, but receiving no encouragement, pulled out his beaver gloves, picked up his hat, and took his leave. And before it was high noon, Mr. Perch had related to several select audiences at the King's Arms and elsewhere, how Miss Carker, bursting into tears, had caught him by both hands, and said, "Oh, dear, dear Perch, the sight of you is all the comfort I have left." Apostrophe, and how Mr. John Carker had said, in an awful voice, "Perch, I disown him. Never let me hear him mentioned as a brother more. Apostrophe, apostrophe, dear John, apostrophe, said Harriet, when they were left alone, and had remained silent for some few moments. There are bad tidings in that letter. Apostrophe, yes. But nothing unexpected, apostrophe, he replied. I saw the writer yesterday. Apostrophe, the writer? Apostrophe, apostrophe, Mr. Dombey. He passed twice through the counting house while I was there. I had been able to avoid him before, but of course could not hope to do that long. I know how natural it was that he should regard my presence as something offensive. I felt it must be so, myself. Apostrophe, he did not say so? Apostrophe, apostrophe, no, he said nothing. But I saw that his glance rested on me for a moment, and I was prepared for what would happen for what has happened. I am dismissed. Apostrophe, she looked as little shocked and as hopeful as she could, but it was distressing news, for many reasons. I need not tell you, apostrophe, said John Carker, reading the letter, why your name would henceforth have an unnatural sound, in however remote a connection with mine, or why the daily sight of anyone who bears it would be unendurable to me. I have to notify the cessation of all engagements between us, from this date, and to request that no renewal of any communication with me, or my establishment, be ever attempted by you. Enclosed is an equivalent in money to a generously long notice, and this is my discharge. Heaven knows, Harriet, it is a lenient and considerate one, when we remember all. Apostrophe, apostrophe, if it be lenient and considerate to punish you at all, John, for the misdeed of another, apostrophe, she replied gently, yes. Apostrophe, we have been an ill-omened race to him, apostrophe, said John Carker. He has reason to shrink from the sound of our name, and to think that there is something cursed and wicked in our blood. I should almost think it too, Harriet, but for you. Apostrophe, brother, don't speak like this. If you have any special reason, as you say you have, and think you have though I say, no, to love me, spare me the hearing of such wild mad words. Apostrophe, apostrophe, he covered his face with both his hands, but soon permitted her, coming near him, to take one in her own. After so many years, this parting is a melancholy thing, I know, apostrophe, said his sister, and the cause of it is dreadful to us both. We have to live too, and must look about us for the means. Well, well, we can do so, undismayed. It is our pride, not our trouble, to strive, John, and to strive together. Apostrophe, apostrophe, a smile played on her lips, as she kissed his cheek, and entreated him to be of good cheer. Oh, dearest sister, tied, of your own noble will, to a ruined man, whose reputation is blighted, who has no friend himself, and has driven every friend of yours away. Apostrophe, apostrophe, John. Apostrophe, apostrophe, she laid her hand hastily upon his lips, for my sake. In remembrance of our long companionship. Apostrophe, apostrophe, he was silent now. Let me tell you, dear, apostrophe, quietly sitting by his side, I have, as you have, expected this, and when I have been thinking of it, and fearing that it would happen, and preparing myself for it, as well as I could, I have resolved to tell you, if it should be so, that I have kept a secret from you, and that we have a friend. Apostrophe, what's our friend's name, Harriet? Apostrophe, apostrophe, he answered with a sorrowful smile. Indeed, I don't know, but he once made a very earnest protestation to me of his friendship, and his wish to serve us. And to this day I believe him. Apostrophe, Harriet. Apostrophe, apostrophe, exclaimed her wondering brother, where does this friend live? Apostrophe, apostrophe, neither do I know that, apostrophe, she returned. But he knows us both, and our history, all our little history, John. That is the reason why, at his own suggestion, I have kept the secret of his coming, here, from you, lest his acquaintance with it should distress you. Here. Has he been here, Harriet? Apostrophe, here, in this room. Once. Apostrophe, what kind of man? apostrophe apostrophe not young. Gray-headed, as he said, and fast-growing grayer. But generous, and frank, and good, I am sure. Apostrophe, and only seen once, Harriet. Apostrophe, apostrophe, in this room only once, apostrophe said his sister, with the slightest, and most transient, glow upon her cheek. But when here, he entreated me to suffer him to see me once a week as he passed by, in token of our being well, and continuing to need nothing at his hands. For I told him, when he proffered us any service he could render which was the object of his visit, that we needed nothing. Apostrophe, and once a week apostrophe, once every week since then, and always on the same day, and at the same hour, he has gone past, always on foot, always going in the same direction towards London, and never pausing longer than to bow to me, and wave his hand cheerfully, as a kind guardian might. He made that promise, when he proposed these curious interviews, and has kept it so faithfully and pleasantly, that if I ever felt any trifling uneasiness about them in the beginning, which I don't think I did, John, his manner was so plain, and true, it very soon vanished, and left me quite glad, when the day was coming. Last Monday the first since this terrible event he did not go by, and I have wondered, whether his absence can have been in any way connected with what has happened. Apostrophe, how? Apostrophe, apostrophe, inquired her brother. I don't know how. I have only speculated on the coincidence. I have not tried to account for it. I feel sure he will return. When he does, dear John, let me tell him that I have at last spoken to you, and let me bring you together. He will certainly help us to a new livelihood. His entreaty was that he might do something to smooth my life and yours, and I gave him my promise that if we ever wanted a friend, I would remember him. Apostrophe, then his name was to be no secret, Harriet, apostrophe said her brother, who had listened with close attention, describe this gentleman to me. I surely ought to know one who knows me so well. Apostrophe, his sister painted, as vividly as she could, the features, stature, and dress of her visitor, but John Carker, either from having no knowledge of the original, or from some fault in her description, or from some abstraction of his thoughts as he walked to and fro, pondering, could not recognize the portrait she presented to him. However, it was agreed between them that he should see the original when he next appeared. This concluded, the sister applied herself, with a less anxious breast, to her domestic occupations, and the gray-haired man, late junior of Dombey's, devoted the first day of his unwonted liberty to working in the garden. It was quite late at night, and the brother was reading aloud, while the sister plied her needle, when they were interrupted by a knocking at the door. In the atmosphere of vague anxiety and dread that lowered about them in connection with their fugitive brother, this sound, unusual there, became almost alarming. The brother going to the door, the sister sat and listened timidly. Someone spoke to him, and he replied and seemed surprised. And after a few words, the two approached together. Harriet, apostrophe said her brother, lighting in their late visitor, and speaking in a low voice, Mr. Morphin the gentleman, so long in Dombey's house with James. Apostrophe, his sister started back, as if a ghost had entered. In the doorway, stood the unknown friend, with the dark hair sprinkled with gray, the ruddy face, the broad clear brow, and hazel eyes, whose secret she had kept so long. John. Apostrophe, apostrophe, she said, half breathless. It is the gentleman I told you of, today. Apostrophe, apostrophe, the gentleman, Miss Harriet, apostrophe, said the visitor, coming in for he had stopped a moment in the doorway, is greatly relieved to hear you say that. He has been devising ways and means, all the way here, of explaining himself, and has been satisfied with none. Mr. John, I am not quite a stranger here. You were stricken with astonishment when you saw me at your door just now. I observe you are more astonished at present. Well, that's reasonable enough under existing circumstances. If we were not such creatures of habit as we are, we shouldn't have reason to be astonished half so often. Apostrophe, by this time, he had greeted Harriet with that able mingling of cordiality and respect which he recollected so well, and had sat down near her, pulled off his gloves, and thrown them into his hat upon the table. "There's nothing astonishing, apostrophe," he said, "in my having conceived a desire to see your sister, Mr. John, or in my having gratified it in my own way. As to the regularity of my visits, since which he may have mentioned to you, there is nothing extraordinary in that. They soon grew into a habit, and we are creatures of habit, creatures of habit." Apostrophe, apostrophe, putting his hands into his pockets, and leaning back in his chair, he looked at the brother and sister, as if it were interesting to him to see them together, and went on to say, with a kind of irritable thoughtfulness, "It's this same habit that confirms some of us, who are capable of better things, in Lucifer's own pride and stubbornness, that confirms and deepens others of us in villainy, more of us in indifference, that hardens us from day to day, according to the temper of our clay, like images, and leaves us as susceptible as images to new impressions and convictions. You shall judge of its influence on me, John. For more years than I need name, I had my small, and exactly defined share, in the management of Tommy's house, and saw your brother, who has proved himself a scoundrel. Your sister will forgive my being obliged to mention it, extending and extending his influence, until the business and its owner were his football, and saw you toiling at your obscure desk every day, and was quite content to be as little troubled as I might be, out of my own strip of duty, and to let everything about me go on, day by day, unquestioned, like a great machine, that was its habit and mine, and to take it all for granted, and consider it all right. My Wednesday nights came regularly round, our quartet parties came regularly off, my violoncello was in good tune, and there was nothing wrong in my world, or if anything not much or little or much, it was no affair of mine. Apostrophe, I can answer for your being more respected and beloved during all that time than anybody in the house, sir, apostrophe, said John Carker. Pooh! Good-natured and easy enough, I dare say, returned the other, a habit I had. It suited the manager, it suited the man he managed. It suited me best of all. I did what was allotted to me to do, made no court to either of them, and was glad to occupy a station in which... Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.